Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. How deeply grateful I am you chose to be with us as we take a look at how. That's what I have for you. Some really interesting questions that have been put before me by listeners and viewers of my TV program, Aspire. So I hope to be able to answer them for you. You know what I'm going to say, don't you? You do. And you're going to probably try to ignore it. And that's what most people do. I understand. But it cannot be ignored. Your donations are the only thing that is thing possible. It is the only way in which I'm able to sustain our radio and our TV program. Our mystery donor is doing everything he can to be of service to humankind by making it available to you to have your donations matched. Now, this is really a generous offer. So if you give $25, he gives $50. He matches yours and goes on. Anyway, he's a very, very sweet man. He really is. Tries to be, kind and generous, compassionate towards humankind, and that's what this is all about for him. If you have found any help in the offerings in which I am giving to you here on Aspire, the radio program, I hope you will become a sponsor. You go to the website at aspire.org, you will see in the middle of the page support. Well, of course. And you click on that and a drop menu will come down and it will explain everything about what it means to give to Aspire, your tax deductible gift, and you will receive a receipt and the benefits. There's little gifts I give to people who are sponsors. The message of the month being one of them. It's on currently on every month. I have a subject matter which I work with for the month of October. It was on Halloween and it was on the fear that grips us. And now in November, which is out, you will find it's on thankfulness. And, you know, I know you think, well, we've heard all these subjects, but you really haven't until I give them to you. Honestly, I do my darndest to try to help you understand everything from different points of view. And when I do that, I, so to speak, help you understand that this practice, this life, this love is approached not as something that is gratuitous or is, the norm, the strictly the pedestrian mentality. I try to reach you from a place in your heart where you find the love that lives within you, not your human heart, but your authentic heart. So go take a look. I think you'll find there's so many things there for you to help you, to serve you. Not many people are into inner awakening, spiritual awakening. They just can't do it. Spiritual awakening is something that is left for those of us who realize the futility of our pedestrian mentality. It isn't about improving your life and making it more prosperous and all that stuff that people want to hear. It's about finding the meaning of your life. Your life has meaning. No matter what you may think, say, or do, your life has meaning. To find that meaning, to recognize that meaning, is the most beautiful thing in life. I can't even begin to tell you about it. It's just that beautiful. It is wordless. It's unconscionable kindness. It is amazing. And if you're the type of person who is enthralled with that which lives within, you're going to find your practice, your work, your inner journey so powerful, so meaningful, and so important. It really is the most important thing in your life. It supersedes your politics and your religions and all the other things that most of us get involved in. Just not happening thing. Let me get to the first question from Glenn. How do you just not give up and stop? Frankly, your message is very clear. Your message is true and clear. Everything, though, is against you in sustaining it. Why don't you give up, Glenn? Why don't I give up breathing, Glenn? Probably a lot of people would like to see that. Why don't I give up breathing? What I do is not an intellectual effort. What I do is not to sustain a business. What I do is for humankind. What I do is to serve humankind through love. I don't give up because I don't have a goal. I am not sitting here with some goal in mind of what I want to see happen and how I want to see it happen. I don't have goals. Goals only detract from the message. I invite. What Aspire is an invitation. An invitation to love. An invitation to the meaning of life through love. And if you are of that elk, if you are of that and you can recognize love, you're not too far gone, you will join me. It isn't a matter of giving up because it's a hopeless situation, which it truly is. Humankind's a mess. It's worse now than it's ever been before. And if you don't understand that, if you don't see it for what it is, humankind that is, you can get very disappointed. You can get very angry. But why do that? Why be involved in that? People are what they are. In this world, you come to understand through your practice that not to expect too much out of people. Why would you? Why would you expect them to understand this thing called love, or even pursue it? Their body stands in the way of everything they do over and over and over again. It doesn't stop. It just keeps going and going and going. I don't quit because this is my breath. This is my life. This is my heart. This is my soul. And it's very important for me to understand that and to sustain that through compassion. So when you talk about quitting, when you talk about the idea that maybe, you know, I should quit because the odds are against me, I frankly don't see it that way at all. I see only the practice of love. And I urge you to come into it because of what it's done for me. I wouldn't want you to have anything less than what I have found. And that is very important to me. Because if I can do it, and believe me, I'm nothing special, anyone can do it. The problem with most of us is that we aren't willing to sacrifice what we need to sacrifice to make it possible, to make love possible, to make living possible. And that's the key to it all. We dilly-dally around in our minds, and we do things with our minds that we shouldn't. We doubt, we fear, we bring in anger, we live in vengeance. We think we know what is fair and right and just. We do all that stuff, but none of it's true. In the end, Glenn, I have found out we're only up against ourselves, not the world. I'm only up against a Gregory, the pedestrian mentality. That's all. The world is what the world is. A spiritual practice is a way of not participating in the world. It is about coming to that very sacred place where the world does not get us. The world does not contain us. The world is just the world. And if you understand what I just said to you, you'll understand why the world has no effect on me in that regard. It is what it is, my dearest. And you can't change it. You can't have the heart of a mouse. You must have the heart of a lion. Please forgive me. Namaste. Very few people, I was reading a from Pew Research that about 30% of the people at the top end of their life, are happy. That means 70% ain't so happy. And it's all about circumstances and politics and all that stuff. And it's so sad because we're wasting time. Happiness is a quality of consciousness. It is never a matter of environment. If you achieve consciousness, if you are willing to achieve consciousness, you will reach true joy, which is what I call happiness. But it takes practice. The next question from Jesse does not tell me where he lives. How do I find peace in a world of nothing but war, Greg? Is it possible? Jess. Oh, yes. Yes, Jess. If we sit in the culmination of our heart, of our spiritual being, there is a way to find a deep inner peace. And if the bombs come, they come. We'll be dancing underneath them. There is nothing you can do about the ugliness of human nature. It is always at war. Human nature is about DNA. It is about conflict. My DNA turns into my genetics, because that's how my genetics interprets DNA. And that's how I have become the pedestrian mentality of the Penn family. Should I keep going in this direction? Should I have lived in that direction and just kept it going? I would have nothing in my life that was meaningful. Absolutely nothing. But I found a way. You can find the way. I offer to you the way. Peace is not a matter of environment. Peace is a matter of finding consciousness within you, finding the way within you. It means certain sacrifices have to be made. The sacrifice of the aggrandizement of our emotionality, of trying to have a better life, a perfect life. Of emotionality, of using emotions as a way to live your life. Emotions only tear away at the presence of your living. And when you don't want the presence of your living disturbed by the emotionality that often overtakes us, that is when you have come to a very sweet and loving place in your life. You've come to the place of love. Listen to me and try to understand, Jess. How comfortable my body may be, how comfortable my psychology may be, urging myself to try to find security in a world that is insecure. These are the ways in which we tear apart our life. We go back to ground zero. Every time I indulge myself in some gratuitous act, in order to make my mind and emotions feel better due to the fact that they are annoyed at something like the hate in this world and the war of this world, the deeper goes my experience of being unable to come into inner peace. Inner peace is a matter of finding that still point in me, in you. that still point that lives within us can be found through the breath. The meditations that I offer on the Aspire website are very powerful. The world snubs them. But the truth is, they are the answer to many a dilemma that we have in this world. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. Inner work is a very frightening thing because you start to question what you thought you had achieved. You start to question those things that you believed were the achievements of your life, how important you are, how loved you are, how much you have, how much you don't have, all those things, your persona, the ego, the vanity, the pride, all being questioned. When I start questioning those things, my ego gets very annoyed at me. And people don't like that when their egos are annoyed. They want their ego to, you know, affectionize them, love them, give them everything they want. They never see the bigger picture of it all. So what can I say to you? How do I find peace in a world of war? Stop being at odds with yourself. Stop the confrontation within you. This confrontation will not lead to anything loving or kind. Notice that the ego needs a great deal of confrontation, needs a great deal of war making. Without it, what can happen? Start to look at your life more deeply, more profoundly. We don't even know we're at odds with ourselves. We're at odds, but we don't even know it. Because we don't want to believe that we are war makers within us. But we are. And when I make war with my own elements, that's when I enter into the collective unconscious. And then I become a part of everything that is so deeply ugly and difficult in this world. And that's the sad part of my life. I continue to live in that kind of ideal where I believe more in the ugliness of the world than I do in the light of love that lives within. How do you help someone like that? How do you serve them? How do you make it possible for compassion and kindness to enter in? That's where our thoughts should be, but they can't be. Because human thought cannot think peace. Human mind cannot think peace. It is only in the silence. You must discover peace as silence within you, as an energy within you. And if you keep that energy flowing and going within yourself, and you are able to sustain it through your lifetime, through your practice of living from meditation, you will find thoughts are not necessary, and therefore you take away the war mechanism within yourself. Then you take away the war mechanism from the world by reversing the whole thing of backing out of the collective unconscious, not allowing it to serve whatever it is it wants to serve and believe in. Everything is important that we do. Everything is substantial. It is our thoughts and our devotion to our thoughts, our obsession, I should say, to our thoughts that make all this possible. Devotion really belongs to the heart, not the human heart, the spiritual heart that very few people recognize lives within them. You have to build a bridge to it. It isn't going to come just naturally. You have to build a bridge to it. And should you build that bridge, such love will pour from you. Such beauty will pour from you. Such goodness. And whether or not you believe this or not doesn't matter. there is great goodness within us all of us. Jess, find peace within yourself. Stop making a war within your elements, your own elements. Love will find you very quickly. Great love. Please forgive me. Namaste. Everybody's looking for nirvana. Too much conflict within us. Too much inbred hate from our genetics. Last question. How does one learn to love as you speak of? Karen from Nevada. Karen, it's about meditation. It's about getting comfortable with quiet silence. It's about no longer participating in the collective unconscious like we like to do. It's about entering into something far greater than our minds can occupy. It's about a surrender, not a succumbing, but a surrender to love itself. And any one of us can do this at any time in our life. It all depends on your willingness and mine to live beyond the beyond, as I like to say, as Buddha taught. You're going to have to make certain sacrifices, though. And that's the rub, because most people don't want to make sacrifice. That's not the way they want to live it. They want their life the way they want their life. This means you may not get everything you want. Not because you're being punished, but because what maybe Gregory wants is not in the best interest of him. His pedestrian mentality can get in the way if he's not careful. So start to look at things from the point of view that everything is in its right place at the right time. That something of the other shore is trying to reach you. That you are right where you need to be to see exactly how you have been. Watch it. And when you see what you need to see, then you act. You start working upon yourself. You start realizing who you are, what you are, and the why of you. And when that starts to take over within you, you're going to find a new you is born. You're going to find a flourishing is born. And that flourishing is so interesting to me because it's our authentic nature. We start falling in love with our life. We see everything in its proper place. So every move we make is loving, peaceful, compassionate. You don't learn to love. You awaken to love. You don't learn what to do. You awaken about what you are doing. In that awakening, there is no thought. There is no how-to. It is simply the awakening. And everybody has access to this awakening one way or another. Let love live you. That's my big thing. You have to want love more than wanting what you think is love. And you have to let love live you. It is the whole reason for our existence. And should you allow this to happen, oh, a great unfolding occurs. Trust me on that one. Staying true to the effort of love is the highest motivation there can be and the most noble thing a person can do. Just stay with it. Forgive, forgive, forgive. Let love live you. Over and over, practice that during the day. Don't let hate in. let love live you. Thank you, Karen. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. I'm out of here. We'll be back on the air next week. I hope you enjoyed the program. Become a donor. Become a sponsor. Help us sustain our program. Please forgive me, huh? Namaste.